Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wall, and this is episode 80. Welcome, Don.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, doing well. We're reaching a milestone here.
I
so.
Know, number 80.
But I wanted to say that this is the episode number 7 of the USB.
Yes, it is.
And this is so funny how this is the divine providence that this will end up being the last of the USB. And then the last of the sermon from our great shepherd, Pastor Nugent. How you doing,
brother? I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, I'm still overwhelmed by the show of love by the church members on yesterday. It was incredible. Incredible.
We're going to talk about that guy in the red car a little later.
with the towel?
With the towel, yeah. I think he thought he was at one of those gas cookout grills or whatever.
Oh, in the world, yeah.
Yeah, but he was pretty eccentric, I understand. And so look, I want to thank all our podcast listeners. Any questions you may have, concerns, give me a 954-388-8780. WhatsApp, Instagram, you know how it works.
Right.
So as always, Don, we're going to start off with a word of prayer.
Yes, please.
All right. Father God, thank you once again for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. Each and every day, as I always say, it is hope. It is hope that we know that you are coming soon for us, Lord, and we want to thank you for that. Thank you for the podcast, Lord. We thank you for the powerful message that was yesterday from Pastor Nugent, Lord. Lord, he was letting us know what we needed to do, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you once again for the crew members. I thank you for Don. I thank you for everybody else that makes this podcast so successful. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Right. So our current event today is obviously you moving. Wow. You have a position. What does that now entail compared to you being a youth pastor?
Right. Yeah. So this is now the third Sunday since I was called by the conference to serve in the youth and young adult department of the Florida Conference as the associate director.
Right.
And so in that capacity, I would work with the youth and the young adults of the Florida Conference for discipleship, for regional and statewide events, to encourage parents as well as local churches in their youth and young adult opportunities, whether it's Sabbath school or it's their midweek programs, AY. Some churches have ambassador, some churches have other midweek experiences for their youth and young adults.
Okay.
So just encouraging churches to be intentional about their discipleship process. Mm-hmm. You know, just one number I was noticing as I've been kind of, getting ready for my meetings that I'll be having soon, was just looking at the fact that, you know, here at Plantation, we are blessed in having a pastor who is focused on youth and young adults.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, that is not the case, in the majority of churches. We have less than 10% of our churches that actually have an associate pastor or a youth and young adult pastor, particularly, is even fewer. And so what do you do to encourage and to grow intentional youth ministry in the rest of the 90% of churches that don't have that individual who can specifically focus on the work of, raising up that army of young people that Ellen White spoke of in her writings. Not to say that the senior pastors aren't doing it. There are many senior pastors who are passionately doing this work, but they are also doing every other task that's there. So in whatever way we can be able to assist and facilitate and help out that process, that task, it is necessary. It also comes at a time where youth and young adults are a extremely concerning demographic now in the church, that we're losing many of them.
Right.
And so it's a matter of, trying to be intentional about discipling. There are many processes that are already in place, good work that's already happening in the youth and young adult ministry. And so I'm looking forward to partnering with, and then also giving some ideas that the Lord has put on my heart for the ministry But I will be focusing specifically on the South. That's the Associate Youth and Young Adult Director for the Florida Conference is stationed in the South. So I won't be moving. I'll still be here in the South.
Okay. That'd be nice.
I just won't be serving at any particular church. I'll be ministering as best I can to and through the pastors of the churches that are here in the South for, you know, the work of discipling youth and young adults for a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay, wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Well, this sermon, now I was talking about power-led sermon.
Very powerful.
Yeah, I wanted to recap back on the titles that were the USB. Oh, you know, the first one was Not Enough Power.
Yeah.
Number two was Power Outage.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was Incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
Number four was Adapters.
Yeah.
Number five was Electrocution.
Yeah.
And number six was How To.
Yep.
And now we're at Fully Charged.
My goodness. You're doing all right, man.
I'm trying.
Goodness.
I'm trying, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my thing. I got this lady next door to me. This beautiful lady here. Don.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta do my thing.
Well, praise God for her. Praise God for her.
Yeah, that's a good thing about it, man. She's wonderful. Wow. Question for you on that. What in this message, you know, what were you trying to convey? Mm. What were you trying to convey in this message?
So the heart message of it, I mean, I always try to boil my sermons down into a 7-word statement. And so my 7-word statement for this message was daily, the warfare of worship is waged.
Mm.
Daily, the warfare of worship is waged.
Yeah.
And so that was really where I was coming home to. But then obviously, because it's my last message, I also had, you know, some other things I needed to be able to share. And that was, you know, encouraging about memorials, you know, about, and that ties into actually the message, because if daily the warfare of worship is waged, it's good to remind yourself of the things that God has led you to victory in already. So that you have some confidence, so you can be able to say, you know, okay, you know, if you know, God has led me in the past, so I don't have to fear for the future.
Mm-hmm. Right? Amen.
So there were some aspects that I tied into the last message that I brought into the sermon, but that was at the heart of the message of what I saw from Scripture, that this the daily we have to wage. We have warfare of worship is waged daily. The warfare of worship is waged.
Yeah. I remember you saying that because you said worship is war. Worship
is war.
I did say that. Yes. That was a major point in the message. Worship is war. Yes, indeed.
I liked your definition of entertainment. Can you expound a little bit on that? The definition of entertainment.
So yeah. And this was connected to the warfare. In that, you know, when the Israelites went out to Mizpah, they were there to worship. And, and because they were there to worship, they did not consider that warfare would come upon them, right? Mm-hmm. They were recommitting their lives to God. They were worshiping there in Mizpah with Prophet Samuel. Mm-hmm. And so as they were there and the Philistines hearing that they were making this commitment to God again, they were not willing to let the Israelites go. So they came up against them in battle because of their worship. And so the point of it was, when I look at the definition, the original meaning, I went to the etymological dictionary that allows you to be able to see the origins of a word. And they were talking about how entertainment is about maintaining and retaining a mind in its current state, that you're trying to sustain it in that one place. And so let's say, you know, in the case of entertainment, it was to do something or to provide someone with something in order that they might be able to stay in that same frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the original understanding of entertainment. Now we use entertainment in a different way We look at it as more, you know, content that we might consume in order to, you know, pass time, to, you know, make us feel certain emotions. Mm-hmm. And they say that, you know, that definition has actually, you know, is not current. But I would say to some extent, it's still true that when we are entertained, it does keep us in a certain frame of mind, right?
That's true.
In the sense of worship, though, when we're talking about worship and entertainment, as I said in the sermon, it makes no sense that we can come into the presence of a holy God who is infinite, who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, right? And yet expect that we are going to leave that encounter unchanged.
Yes.
That we should expect that every worship encounter, that we should see something different, that we should see some aspect of our lives that should change, that we should, you know, become a little closer to him, that we should, you know, and whether we like it or not, we're making a decision. Every time we come into a worship experience, we're making a decision, whether we know it or not, to either continue to be connected, get closer to God, or to make a decision to say, no, I don't want that. I'm going to push away from God, right? Every worship experience is that. And so for me, that's where the power of the word entertainment came from, that this was basically revealing the work of the enemy in trying to maintain us in the same mindset that we're currently in, which if we are stagnant, and that was kind of another portion of it, we're talking about ever waging, but never winning, right? That we should be journeying on in our spiritual walk, that we should continue to press on. If we stay stagnant, then just staying stagnant is still a defeat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a part also that you talked about, an open church while dead.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
I didn't have any specific church in mind.
I know. wanted to go on that same trajectory of your entertainment. Do we think as churches, we always think about, especially with the young people, we say we just entertain them. That's why they're leaving the church. Do you think that's a true statement? Do you think we're just trying to entertain them to keep them there?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that discipleship, at the heart of discipleship is the sending. So eventually they are to be sent. Unfortunately, the task of teaching and training and raising up not only just young people, but also church members is not happening, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it is being done in the home amongst children, whether it's being done in the local church, whether it's being done in a more broader sense to encourage it. Our young people are not being trained up. You say, for example, you look at a school and if you had a graduation class, and unfortunately we have this right now, it's not a hypothetical, you will have a graduation class where a large percentage of them are only graduating with remedial courses, right? I think it would be fair to say that school has not done a great job in discipling or teaching that set of graduates, right? Yeah. So when you look at a church then, and you see that the church has very few young people who are moving into leadership positions, when you see a church and they have very few young adults who are passionate about the calling that God has on their life in their vocation, when you see a church and they don't have much evidence of discipling work that they have, right? Then one would have to, if you're honest about the assessment of the discipling process that you have in your church, and you see that that's not happening, then you'll be like, Lord, what are we doing that's not working, right? I think that that's a question, that's something that we all need to wrestle with. We all need to wrestle with, because I don't think any church, doesn't matter what church you look at, I don't think there's any church that could say that they have reached the mark, right? Yeah. This is another battle, I would say, that we are ever waging, but never winning. We must continue to find new ways and be relevant in the task of discipling the next generation, even the current generation. Yeah.
Right. It's true. It's very true. Mm.
Yeah. I just love her questions, man. You got any more, Don? Pastor, I wanted to ask you, as your bio sketch, what are your takeaways, the life lessons, you know, spiritual and personal? What would they be? You have a few?
A few from the message or just from life? I mean, like in life general.
Itself. Wow. Yeah. Just to, you know, I'm tapping in a little bit more.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could do from plantation or whatever, just you yourself, because, you know, everybody has a bio, yeah. You know, we're just ever changing, ever adding to it. Mm. I just want to ask from your perspective.
Okay. So, you know, life lessons that I have learned from plantation, I guess, yeah, or just to share from plantation. Yes. Mm-hmm. What I have learned in my time here at plantation is that you should never underestimate the capabilities of our young people and young adults.
I'm glad. I know they're glad to hear that. They'll be glad.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so true, though. You never know. You put certain young people and you say, oh, that one can do it. And then you find someone else that's an absolute gem that you're amazed by what they can do.
True.
So true.
Yeah, and I've seen that. I've had the privilege of seeing that at Plantation where young people who, you would think that they were, you know, they come across as timid, they come across as, you know, very reserved. Mm-hmm. And yet when they choose to really show up and, you know, really show the gifting and talents that God has given them, you're amazed. Yes. And so I cherish the opportunity to be able to see them get a chance to be able to really show their benefits, the blessings that they have to provide. So that's one thing I learned at Plantation for sure. Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
So personally, how about that?
Personally, what have I, a life lesson that I've learned personally is, man. There are safe churches out there, indeed. Okay. Sometimes you have churches that can be, you know, you hear stories and you even experience sometimes, churches. But there are churches, and there are safe colleagues as well. There are safe colleagues as well. As Pastor Joe, I think, talked about yesterday, very few pastors will get the chance to be able to work in a context like I have had the privilege of working in for the last 3 years, where we've worked as a team of pastors. Unfortunately, a lot of the pastoral experience is a experience of what they would term lone wolf, right? Mm-hmm. You're by yourself, whether by choice or by force, you're by yourself. And so my experience at Plantation has been one that has been of teamwork, and it's just been a blessing to me. And so I've learned personally that you can, you know, you don't have to be always, you know, holding a certain folk at bay or anything. You can trust people more, you know. That's something I've learned a little more. So
yeah, that's true.
That's something that they have to deal with all the time.
That's true. I wanted to go back in the first time I met you. I think at the time you I see you're laughing now. when you were at Cooper City.
Oh my, okay. Yeah, you went back farther than I thought.
We're going back, man. Yeah, your hairstyle.
Yes, I remember. Back. Yes, your wife was preaching. Was it when she preached? Incredible. Wow.
You actually told her that she could preach right then and there, pretty much. And then she did Cooper City, but then you gave her the invitation to preach at Margate.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Yeah, and then she blew their socks off over there.
Well, the brethren were blessed. The brethren were blessed.
Awesome. Those are the friends' benefits of getting married, you know what I'm saying?
praise God.
No, I've got the chance to know you at the time, you know, and, you know, we were talking the first time, and you were just smiling. You were like, oh, so this is the guy to the great woman. I was like, yeah. But I want to thank you for the time I met you, because when I was looking at the videos yesterday, it was so funny. When you first got introduced by Pastor Joe, I was looking at your hairstyle. I said, look at the difference, man.
Look at the difference, indeed.
Smooth. Right. I just had the smooth look. And But your messages were on point, man. I mean, I knew you were there for the youth. I knew you were there for the youth. Thank and you, brother, because just wonderful to meet you and get to know your family. Mm. You know, your wife is just, I mean, she's just a statue of what a first lady in your life should be.
Amen. Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
I got to give her that. Melissa has got it going on there. You know,
praise God.
I keep reminding her of Coming to America. She loves that movie. So.
Really?
Okay. She likes Coming to America. She told
me. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Too much. Too much.
Yeah, I know. I'll just tell you what. It was just what she laughed at. Uh-oh. We got somebody coming in, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. No. Got to clean up our act now.
Pastor, you know, I couldn't miss this opportunity, man.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah, so okay.
But you know what, though?
Yeah, we didn't get to talk.
I'm not saying goodbye to you.
We're gonna see you. We know where you live.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
We're just transitioning to another aspect of ministry.
Exactly.
Wow. I know. Yes, I know we're gonna be working again together, especially you being up there.
Oh yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm sure I'm gonna get that call and say, "Hey, Colin, can you produce this video?"
It's gonna come. Yeah. I love it. I'd love it. I'd love it.
but in the meantime, between time, man, I got something for you right here. Dog.
Oh man, the Mike Testimony shirt. I love it. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
It's double X. You said right?
No, it's double X. I'll take whatever you have. If that's what you have, I'll take
it. But I got you, too, man. So we'll hook up, all right?
I tell you.
Wow, thank you so much.
You've been truly being a blessing to me and my family, man. You baptized my daughters.
Baptize her daughters.
Yeah. You baptized me, too, because I went in the pool with them. So.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Praise God. Praise God.
I knew that was wonderful, Colin. I know that was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was. It had to be wonderful.
And your humor. Oh my goodness, your humor
just has dry.
Dying. Oh. Dying. It's like, wow.
Praise God. Praise God.
So we have some visitors this time.
Yeah, we have some
visitors.
Brother.
Oh my goodness.
We got some visitors.
Cassandra, you're up, man.
Yes, Pastor Nujet, I'm so sad to see you go. And I wanted to get on today. Me and Edward, thank you for your contribution to the podcast and to the digital evangelism ministry. So we started this podcast together. We launched it. It was, I think, Landon, you, Edward, and Cherie, and me, myself. You know, we were talking one afternoon about one thing to do, and we decided to do the podcast, and that was like last year, May of 2019, and we launched it, and now the rest is history, and we've been going strong since then, and we wanted to thank you because you've been with us since the beginning. So something will be missing without you on the podcast. So we wanted to say thank you. Such a great leader, a great pastor. And we are grateful for your contribution to our church, to Deeper Dive, and to the ministry. So we wanted to say thank you. But I know that God has better plans for you right now. Amen. And we are so proud of you, of your achievements. And we'll miss you and your beautiful wife. I always tell everyone, oh, his wife is so beautiful. Your beautiful wife and your children. Yeah, yeah. So we are grateful for your ministry. Mm. And we are hoping that you will come back to our church from time to time. I know you will be a member of Plantation still.
Yeah, hello, James. Yeah.
Make sure you keep your promise, Pastor Nugent. And because you'll be local, we may find something for you to do.
Another podcast for him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Let me tell you.
Pastor Nugent, I remember the name Deeper Dive came from you.
Exactly. You know that name.
You gave the title. Praise God. I remember that first night we had the meeting, you said, let's not have a lot of things that we cannot handle, but just have a small thing that we can munch on and then grab it and master it. And when we're looking for the name, Deeper Dive, Deeper Dive was from you.
Wow.
We loved it from the beginning. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your thoughtfulness and everything else from the day on we met.
Praise God. Praise God. It was a team effort for sure. Yes.
And Pastor Nujet, you know, as you suggested at that time, you know, just do one thing that we can master and do well. So we've been working on the podcast. It has been our baby. So hopefully next year we can have more projects. We have some in the works. So hopefully by next year, because I think, you know, with Don and Joe, we're good to go. So we can move on to other plans, you know, according to God's wills, of course.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
I also want to add that he was my very first speaker. You know that.
No, it was not. Actually, Pastor Joe, our first speaker. Yeah. And I think
he was his first
speaker. He was for me. For me, 13. Oh,
for Jay Wald as a host. Yeah, that's true. I
was going through like 9 different names, I guess, at that time.
Yeah, you didn't settle on Jay Wald at that time.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask a question, Joe and Don?
Go ahead.
So, Pastor Nugent, can you tell me, because you've been part of the podcast since the beginning, how has it impacted your life?
The podcast.
Yeah.
You know, the podcast is really, it's been different for me, particularly with, you know, sharing my sermons, you know, giving a behind the scenes and the reasoning behind it. I really appreciate the fact that I can be able to, you know, answer the questions of church members. This is helpful for me to be able to really improve my skill as a preacher. To be able to hear, you know, well, this wasn't clear. This was clear. This is the point that really came across, even though this is the one I intended. So it's been really instructive for me, but then also it's been a blessing to, you know, also be able to talk, you know, from an Adventist perspective about some of the current events that are happening in our world, to be able to address them in a way that would be relevant to our individual, to our church members and people beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. My open prayer is that it will continue to be that it will continue to be a blessing to individuals as they connect with the podcast. And we're reaching people, you know, on their drive to work or, you know, while they brush their teeth in the morning or wherever we may be, you know. So I praise God for that, to be able to minister to people where they are. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Wow. So, Joe, you're going to talk about your situation yesterday.
Yeah, I wanted to put Pastor Jen get a shout out, you know, before we go into that. Come on, Pastor Jen, put a shout out in there. What's your experience yesterday?
yesterday? My experience yesterday was awesome. I mean, No, you know, Pastor Andrew, I'm going to appreciate and miss about you is that what did you say to me in one of our first meetings? You said when you I believe it was, right before I started that Sabbath, you said, oh, by the way, you're going to be a part of Bold Justice. And I said, what's that? And you said, oh, you're going to meet the person tomorrow and you're going to start the house meetings, I think next week or 2 weeks from now. And I was so confused. I'm like, what? And then you said, well, I said, I don't know what that's about. He goes, well, you'll learn. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then the next thing we went to, you took me, I don't know if you remember this, but there was some kind of you want us to get more involved in the community. So he took me to this meeting of religious faiths.
If you're not seeing her hands, she's doing
air religious faiths. If you can say that. And it was the most interesting meeting I've been to, where we were all separated into different tables, and my table was talking about worshiping with drums and tambourines and the silence and candles, and I don't know what his table was talking about. But after that, I said, what did you mean for us to go to that meeting? And he was like, it was so different from what I thought it was gonna be. Sorry about that. And then for those of you who don't know, when we started COVID, we needed to do Sabbath school. And I have never, and you'll find this, you know, funny, because I always, you know, said to people in the past in my churches, hey, yeah, let me help with a Sabbath school lesson. But I was never given the opportunity until that next Sabbath. He was like, you're going to help me with Sabbath school. And I'm like, I have never ever done Sabbath school? And he's like, well, you will next Sabbath. and I'm just like, but I don't, well, what's the topic? And he goes, Daniel and Revelation. I'm like, that's the subject that I was not good at. And he said, don't worry, just follow the lesson. And I was freaking out over the lesson because of all these extra facts. And he's like, that's okay, you just stand next to me. And you didn't see it, you can't see it on the video, right? But he's just cueing me. He's like, kind of like nudging me just a little or just tapping his computer like, now is when you tap, now is when you say something. And I was cracking up. And my friend who had watched it, because I was so nervous, she goes, you know what you were like, Jen? You were like Vanna White. Just
oh,
like,
goodness.
There's the picture. So, I mean, for me, Pastor Andrew has been about not just introducing you to a new situation, but like literally
dropping you in,
a new situation. Any like, warning, like, this is what you're gonna do and you're gonna do it well. And so, you know, I appreciated that. Thank you on my feet.
Wow, nice.
Wow.
Good.
Now, and look, you know, she's hosting Sabbath school, Jesus at the center. She's incredible. I'm telling you, get an opportunity and a chance. Praise God. Yeah, anyway, yeah, so I apologize for all the stress that I've caused you over the years.
It's all good.
Pastor
I'm going to
miss
though,
seriously,
going
to miss
you.
Yeah.
Pastor
Joe.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning, Pastor Joe.
As you can see, you cannot get rid of us. We are pursuing you. Okay?
I know, right?
I wasn't trying to get rid of you.
So get ready, because throughout the week,
we'll be calling you.
You're going to pop
in. Yeah, you will have us show up at different places, you know, just... All of a sudden, boom, again. Yeah.
That's good.
So are you guys going to ask me now, or I just have to go ahead and then...
You just do your thing, Pastor.
Do your thing, Pastor.
Yeah, well, I could do a podcast on this. Okay. So why not close this up and start a new one? it's been a very interesting experience for me, because when I was asked to come to Plantation, I was told, okay, so this is what we need you to consider. We are going to place you in as a team. As a team, okay, with whom? And they said Andrew Nugent.
Wow.
So I knew Andrew Nugent to some extent, because we've been in the same area for 3 years. We had been in the same area for 3 years at that time. But I didn't know him well. I knew him as a very, very... silent guy, but then when he opens his mouth, people just crack up around him.
Wow.
Because he's the calm, pensative guy. He reasons things within himself, and then he would put it out in a very compressed manner, and many times through a joke. And if you don't have a sense of humor, you can easily mistake that, I would say, because if you're not used to him, then you say, okay, so what is this now? How can someone be so dry?
Yeah, I see.
So I said, okay, let's go. Now, I also had a sense of, okay, but this guy is older than me, somewhat older than me, and I'm supposed to be the lead, and he's going to be an associate. And I said, okay, let's go. Then another factor that I have, because I've been in contexts before where I had to be leading a group where people were at different ages. And that wasn't a huge challenge, but something that I have never had before, is somebody being taller than me in the
group.
You may think this, that doesn't count, but at a psychological level,
really, wow,
it does count, especially when you are not used to it, because with time you get used to it, and things become normal, and you know, it's been a lesson for me on a psychological level, because up until the point when somebody brings that new experience to your life, you're oblivious to some facts.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I don't know, Pastor Randall, when you are going to have that chance to learn.
daily. I have that chance daily. As the Bible says, we've all come short of the glory of God.
Good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's not even with me, you get that, man, because you're still taller than me.
We are.
I got a
few. Some of us come shorter.
Yeah.
You
know
what? I never had that issue because I'm always shorter than everybody.
Then another very interesting experience was that somebody called me from the area, one of the pastor colleagues, doing me a favor, you know, and telling me, oh boy, that's not gonna be easy for you. This guy is a big guy, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Which I said, okay, well, I kind of noticed that. I mean, he is a big guy. But I can't say I was afraid or anything. But I said, okay, this is going to be a new experience, a very interesting experience. We will have things to sort out together. And it has been a great and valuable journey, because we are coming from totally different backgrounds in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of the very helpful things that I experienced working together with Pastor Andrew is his knowledge about the American system, mm-hmm. by and large,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Seventh-day Adventist, yep. church organization, yep. in particular. Mm-hmm. And why am I pointing that out? From a leadership standpoint, it's extremely detrimental to somebody's progress or success in leadership if you come to the table with the assumption you know it all.
Mm.
Right. I know human beings have that propensity, and one of the things that I had to learn at the very beginning of my work here in the US is how different the US the system, the political system, the social system, and everything here, how different it is from anything else that I had experienced before.
Wow.
So having Andrew, somebody that grew up here, right, and has been part of the American life in many, many ways. Education, right? His education was completed here, or is being completed here, because now he's continuing.
Yes.
Right? The social system. He had been sort of a social activist in some ways, because he had been involved with Bold Justice before Pastor Jen came.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a very thorough knowledge of the system. And mm-hmm. and one thing where we were able to build very well on his expertise is that he is a detailed guy. Yeah. I'm not a detailed guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like sitting back and and look around and see what is going on.
The big picture.
The big picture. Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And for instance, I don't even check the calendar. because if I start checking the calendar, those landmarks in the calendar kind of obstruct my mind.
Wow.
But I always know if I ask Pastor Andrew, he will tell me, okay, we have this and this and this and this and this.
Right.
which is a great addition to a team, you know.
Praise God.
When you know there is somebody in the team you can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose track, somebody will tell you, hey, mm-hmm. okay, but we had this and this and this. Okay, mm-hmm. all right, let's rethink it, reimagine the big picture mm-hmm. based on this. Right? Mm-hmm. So this, as I said, I can go on and on.
We're editing, by the way.
Sorry?
Just kidding with you.
You already finished the podcast?
Yeah, we already edited. We switched for next
time. I'm doing the extra now.
Just letting you know, that's all.
This is what I would like to encourage everybody that is listening.
Mm-hmm.
From a leadership Amazing. Standpoint,
mm-hmm.
If you want to grow in leadership, develop, grow in that sense, right? Never surround yourself with people that are the same, think the same, do the same.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Because that's not True. How you grow.
That's yeah. right.
True. There's a way to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to be tolerant and supportive enough. When I say tolerant, I mean people will always have things that you will say, I'm not sure about this. But if you start cutting everything off,
yeah.
then what mm-hmm. did you complete? Nothing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And supportive,
mm-hmm.
when somebody has an idea, support that idea and build on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have the impression it's only you. Mm-hmm. And if the door, the only possibility for the door to move is if you are that doorknob. You know,
wow.
So that's a wrong conception. And thank God, I've got to know Pastor Andrew as a wonderful person, as a great team player, which is very very rare among pastors.
Yes.
I have to tell you.
Yes,
and. Somebody that has a say, right? So don't believe Pastor Andy would sit and say nothing. No, he would say it. He would say it, and he would even have a strong opinion when it's justified.
Right.
But that's just perfect for a team to be able to reason together, to think mm-hmm. about it, to say. To see it from different angles
mm-hmm.
and build together. And that has been a great journey for I think both me and Jan to have a stability factor, you know.
Right.
Because Pastor Andrew can, if Pastor Andrew is in the middle, then he brings us stability, right?
Right.
You don't want to have Pastor Andrew on one end or the other.
Wow.
that can bring things out of balance. But that can
wow.
and please take this not literally. Take it
gave me a visual.
Yeah, it was right? a big visual.
Okay, let me rephrase this, okay?
I saw that.
Now I've just given you an example of how it is when you start saying things, you know, and in your mind you go crazy. But Pastor Andrew has not jumped yet.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He's still processing.
Right. Yeah. Coming back to something else. Coming back.
Oh, no.
He will say, okay, let me see how far he's able to go out there.
No.
And then he would not jump on the other end of the 4x4 or what is it, 6x6? 2x6?
Oh, the seesaw.
So that he would jump you. He would have you jump out in the air But he would come, okay, let's come back here. But it's fine, you know?
Praise God. All right.
I think what Pastor Joe is trying to say is that Pastor Andrew has been, for the three of us, he has been our glue. He has been the one that has balanced us and kept us neutral when we needed to be neutral. And this has been such a good team. I just cannot imagine what the future is going to hold. I know Pastor Joe and I will do well together and welcome our new pastor. I know it, but for right now, I'm in half mourning and half celebration. I mean, if you guys stick around yesterday and we took pictures at the very end, so we realized we had never had a group picture of the three of us. Wow. Pastor Andrew's right in the middle, and we're right playing, you know, and so yeah.
that's very representative.
Yes, very it is. He's our glue. I mean, if you... We've been together, all three of us, in hospitals and funerals, and he's always the one. Like Pastor, what Pastor Joe said, he'll just go with the. He doesn't have a straight. He's a big picture man. He doesn't have a straight thought of exactly what the order is, and I'll follow along. And along comes Pastor Andrew with this little printed program.
That's right.
What is this program? And he'll silently hand it to me in the hospital, and it's a list of what we're gonna sing, or who's gonna do the prayer, or the scripture. We don't know until we get there, and he hands out this paper, and we're like, oh, and everything flows like right there, like, oh yes, that's what we're gonna. Yes, okay, that's what we're gonna do.
Wow.
And even at gravesides, I mean, I don't like to say it like this, but we were driving to one, and we're just discussing in the car, so who's gonna do what? And he goes, don't worry. So we arrived at a gravesite, and he passed out this paper full of hymns, you know. And this is what I appreciate about us. We have been in such sync together that one, usually Pastor Andrew will start singing and then we just slot in.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
We go right in, and right, I'm going to miss this. I really am. I'm going to miss you like crazy. Wow.
So now that you know what Pastor Jen thinks I wanted to say, let me say what I wanted to say.
They're killing me.
Oh man.
Joe.
Yes.
If I may, I know Pastor Jen just mentioned that she's mourning, but she's celebrating. So yesterday at that drive-by party for Pastor Nujet, we saw Joseph dancing. Joe, you were dancing. I'm like, Joe, is it time for celebration or rejoicing? You should be crying right now. So what was it about, Joe?
I was dancing. Early.
I'm like, Joe, you should not be dancing. No. You should be crying.
I don't dance out of principle, guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
There were two Joes. The first one.
Yes, I saw him dancing, and I'm bringing him to the board.
Look, let me tell you this. The first one.
And Pastor, he wasn't only dancing, he was dancing on the Sabbath.
Pastor.
He had a white towel, though.
That's serenity. That's serenity.
He's surrendering his heart to the Lord.
There you go. But the first Joe was the one that was late for work. That's why I was telling Phyllis, move on.
That's why you were beeping.
They thought I was in celebration, but I was late for work. But but the second one, I came around and they were like, look, Joe, it's celebration, man. This guy is leaving, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, well, let me just do something different. So I turned attention from that and I just said, let me just park right in the front and dance and just give him something to remember. That's all. Oh, you did. Remember. Okay. And I think I did a good job.
You sure did?
Wow.
And the pastor asked me, Pastor Andrew asked me what hymnal was that song.
I did ask him that. Yeah.
Yep. What'd you say? Like 994 or something like that? Yeah. The one at the very end.
I did not. I've yet to find that edition of the hymnal, though.
This is the revised hymnal.
Yes, very much revised. Hymnal. You know.
I remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right?
But it was a wonderful. It was a good time. Though. I don't think I've seen a send off like that in a long time.
Wow.
I know.
That was a good send off, man. Yeah. You're loved. You're a loved man.
Yeah.
I felt you it. Know? I felt and I appreciated greatly.
Thank you. Man. Your wife is a blessed woman, man. She is a statue to you, bro. And your sons. Mm. Yeah.
I praise God for them. You know, I was listening to what Pastor Joe was sharing, and so what I was finding was actually a quote I remembered. I couldn't find it for the life of me, but I just found it actually now. It was a quote that I used in elders training we had a number of years ago. Mm. It was talking about differences of governance and management in the church, and it the quote goes like this, and I think it speaks to what Pastor Joe and Pastor Jennifer are talking about in the way that we have operated. Mm-hmm. It says, this is manuscript 15, Ellen White's writings, page 149. All have not the same experience. In a church, there are different gifts and varied experiences. In temporal matters, there is a great variety of ways of management, and yet none of these variations in manner of labor, in exercise of gifts, need to create dissension and discord and disunion. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me speaks to somewhat what we have had at our church and in our team, that, you know, in temporal matters, in things that are, you know, it's not salvific. These are not issues of, you know, well, you know, what day is the Sabbath? No, we're not talking about those things. But in the way of managing, in the way of operating, in the way of conducting the business and work of the church, there is a great variety. And the variety should never cause dissension, as she says, discord or disunion. And I praise God. I praise God that has been my experience here at the Plantation Seventh Adventist Church, my experience with Pastor Jennifer and Pastor Joe, and I believe it was the working of the Holy Spirit, and it has indeed benefited this Amen. Church community, and it's blessed me tremendously.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, any last words before we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Don't go!
There.
That's it? Don't go?
Don't go.
Don't go.
Oh.
Don't go. Don't go.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. All right, Pastor. We want to thank Pastor Jen, Pastor Cassandra, and her hubby.
Cassandra.
let me say a word.
Yeah.
Please. I was thinking about how can you say this in an elegant manner on a podcast? Well, the thing is, you know, There's a misconception, a misinterpretation in the church, even in the church, of what ministry means.
Mm.
And Pastor Andrew touched this at the beginning of his sermon yesterday, and I felt it. Because wow. people believe when you go on higher responsibility, then it's because you are promoted and because you deserve it and stuff like that.
Mm.
And one thing that I learned from life is you don't get what you deserve. Because if you have to get what you deserve, then you will have a hard time. You know, no matter who you are, in fact. And then ministry or moving forward in ministry is not elevation. In the sense of, okay, now you're high and lifted up, and everybody is at your feet now, and hey, you're somebody.
Mm.
When in reality, life proves, and I know Pastor Andrew is aware of this, life proves that your rights, the higher ranking you become in ministry, your rights shrink.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Unfortunately, there's a lot of distortion, I would say, in ministry. And because of that, some people have the impression if you go higher ranking in a system, then you have more rights, and then now you can afford things that you could not afford before. When in fact, it's the exact opposite. Now you cannot afford not even things that you could afford before. Let me give you an example, because this was somehow characteristic of our ministry at Plantation, right? You rarely saw me with a tie, right? you probably rarely saw Pastor Andrew without a tie.
Without a tie.
Yeah.
But in spite of his preference for one style or the other, at Plantation, he could afford to decide whether he wants to wear a tie or not.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Moving forward, that right is taken away.
Gone.
Yeah.
Because in most contexts where he will have to do ministry, he will not have that option. He will not have to think on a Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, okay, so am I going to wear a tie tomorrow or not? It's like a given, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless you want to mess somebody's mind or heart up. So I'm just using this as an illustration.
Right.
That when you move forward in ministry and you receive more authority, it's not like you gained it and therefore now you have everything under your elbow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No. It's responsibility.
Yeah.
It's service, it's humbleness. And if you don't know that, people will show it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. If I may, Joe, just 1 minute, just less than 1 minute.
Sure, I'm here. We're here.
I agree with what Pastor Joe just said. I guess when you have that higher, if we can call it like that, position, then you have a greater responsibility to serve as well. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Yes. To whom much is given, much will be required.
Wow.
Yeah, so Pastor Andrew, I want to commend you for the call that the Lord placed on you. And I'll be in prayer for you.
Thank you.
I know some of the experiences there will be great, and some of them will not be that great, but the Lord will switch them around.
Hallelujah. Yes, I pray for the switch.
All righty.
Just to help us transition, can you just call into the staff meeting one more time on Wednesday? I mean, just end October on a good note, you know, just call in and say, I miss you all.
Oh,
That'd be nice.
Well, this Wednesday, I guess this Wednesday we'll see, because I know we have the district meeting on Wednesday. So we'll have
this is one thing I wanted to add for Pastor Nugent. This is what speaks loud for me, for Pastor Nugent and how he carries himself as a leader, but also as a father. It's when he was preaching and asked for a prayer warrior to come up to pray, and then one of his sons came up.
Yeah.
And it speaks loud to the example that he sets, not only in the church, but also in his family.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's good. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here now. We want to see that everybody's spoken. I'm glad that we have. Mm-hmm. I just want to add one little snippet. You mentioned that you said, Pastor Nugent, that it's not the position that you're actually going to have in the conference. Mm-hmm. It's just, you said your greatest reward, I believe, was the local church.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was powerful.
That
was powerful when you said that. So blessings to you on that, brother.
Thank you.
And I want to thank each and everybody's here, Pastor Jim, Pastor Joe, Cassandra, Edward, and of course, the world's best co-host, Don.
Yeah.
We're going to know you more. And I want to thank you guys for putting your input on that. And as we always say, we ask you to just leave us out in that powerful word of prayer, because I know it's going to come.
Amen.
All right. It'll be my privilege. Let's
thank you, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this opportunity to come together through the means of technology, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, this time together of reminiscing, dear Lord, and also just identifying your will, dear Lord, in regard to leadership and management and visionary guidance of your church, dear Lord, might indeed bless not only the members of the Plantation Tim Adventist Church, but others who might listen, dear Lord, and hear a different paradigm of leadership that's not one of vying for top position or, you know, striving for supremacy, one that looks more like the Godhead.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to be with the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church and the work that they have been called to in this specific time period, dear Lord, in this age, dear Lord, as we await your soon return, that we, dear Lord, would be indeed found working when you come, dear Lord, seeing souls saved into the kingdom, dear Lord, and also discipled, dear Lord, to lifelong relationship with you. Be with the Digital Evangelism Department, dear Lord, in all their efforts and in their initiatives that they will have going forward. Be with the ideas that are yet to be birthed, dear Lord, that they would be led by your Holy Spirit, and bring others, dear Lord, to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be with the church, dear Lord, as they decide on who, dear Lord, will fill the position for youth and young adult ministries. That they too, dear Lord, will become a part of the team to continue to move the church forward to your glory and your honor. Bless us now, dear Lord, in these things. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Be with each and every household that is both here on the podcast and those that listen to it, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. All the best to you. Blessings to your sons, your beautiful wife.
And thank you very much. Like
I said, I know. I'm seeing Pastor Jesus. He's really
she's
doing her thing. Well, I want to thank all the podcast listeners. You know, you feel inspired. Go back to some of his sermons. He has some powerful sermons that he's speaking. He's spoken to us on our podcast. And as always, any questions or concerns you may have, 954-388-8780. And that is a wrap, guys. Thank you all.